In her new novel, Joan is Okay, the author YQ Wang introduces us to Joan. She's an overachieving Chinese-American doctor devoted to her job in a busy New York City ICU. But her family life? Well, that's complicated. And when her father dies in China, it sets off a chain of events that forces Joan to confront her family while she struggles to prove to everyone around her that she is indeed okay. All of this becomes more urgent when the city and her hospital are overwhelmed by the COVID-19 pandemic. Again, the book is Joan is Okay, and YQ Wang joins me now. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Well, good to have you. And Joan, the main character here, is a workaholic, to say the least. She'd rather be working in the hospital than be anywhere else. Yet she can't really help being drawn into her family at a pretty serious time of crisis. Tell me how you came up with that premise for this book.
Right. So I'm always very cognizant of not boring the reader by the second page or the third page or whatnot.
And good idea.
And I thought, what do I do with a character who can't seem to stop working? I need a catalyst event. I need sort of an event one that will take the character out of her comfort zone. And I think one of the books that did a great deal for me when I was in college reading it was The Stranger, actually. And I just love how that story opens up just with the death. With the death of the mother and sort of that becoming a reckoning for this character. I thought that that was actually a good way to kind of put Joan in a really uncomfortable place. That happens by page two. Her father dies by page two. Then she goes to China for 48 hours. And so all of this becomes
48
this, like, snowball.
Let's stress that again. 48 hours, right.
And she thinks, well, I've done that. And then now I can go back to work. And it starts to catalyze other people around her, just wondering if she is, right, as the title says, okay, or if she needs to reevaluate her life, take stock.
We'll get to the family dynamics in just a minute, but I do want to focus on the hospital side of things where Joan spends much of her time. I understand that you did research by visiting ICUs in New York and speaking with doctors along the way. What did you learn?
I think what I realized is, well, first, it is just like a job, even though you are dealing with very, very high stakes. But I think if you keep thinking about the stakes all the time, nothing really gets done. And specifically in the ICU, you know, what I noticed was that none of the doctors or the nurses really spend that much time, you know, sitting there with the patient. The family member does that if they can go in. Most of them are on the screen, right? They're looking at the screen. They're looking at numbers. They're putting in orders. And in that way, it's sort of like the maintenance of life. I met ECMO during one of my ICU things. And
the breathing machine.
The breathing machine, yeah, and right. I think Joan's only friend at the hospital, really.
Well, let's talk about that. I mean, because so it is just a job, as you say, sometimes a mundane job, and yet it is something that Joan cannot stop doing. She doesn't want to stop working. So what is that about? What is being a workaholic about in your mind? You know, because it seems like it's more than ambition.
She really, really wants to be useful. She wants the ultimate sense of purpose and use. And I'm almost envious sometimes of my doctor friends of how extraordinarily and clearly useful they are. You know, they can delineate what their tasks are on a day-to-day level. And if she's not working, I actually don't think she knows what she would do. I think left to her own devices, Joan would be a little bit lost in terms of managing free time because she has such a structured training and system, and she really craves that structure.
And free time might force her to, you know, reflect on the other aspects of her life. And to me, it seems right. like her life really is kind of a mess. And you punch holes in the stereotype that Asian Americans are always successful in all areas of their life. I wonder what you think about that. How important was it for you to question this idea of, you know, the word that's thrown around is the model minority?
Yeah, that is one of the things that I wanted to kind of interrogate and explore. In some ways, at the hospital, she is the model minority, right? She works, you know, overboard. Her director loves her because she can work. But to your point about her personal life, I think at the very beginning, she thinks her personal life is actually, quote unquote, in order. You know, she has a way that she deals with her mother. She has a way that she deals with her brother. She has a way that she deals with her father. And I think what throws a wrench into all of this is when they start to surprise her a little bit. Like, her mother comes to visit her. And that escalates everyone questioning, well, what's wrong with you, right? I think Joan is incredibly content with what she has and where she is. But to maybe other people, right? If you're 36 and you're unmarried and you don't date and you don't have kids and you have no desire for kids, something must be personally wrong with you.
Well, she certainly feels the pressure to act and live a certain way. There is a passage in the book where Joan is describing three waves of progress for an immigrant family. I wonder if you could read that passage for us.
Of course. The first wave was our parents, who took any job available and occupied the lowest social rung. In their discontent, they invested in their children, us, and we would go on to rebuild the wealth that had been lost. The third wave, my brother's children, would be the first to benefit from a safety net created by wave two. Finally, they could take risks, pursue passions, and as my brother believed, make us culturally ascendant.
So I don't know what your own personal family story is like, but is that something that you can relate to?
I feel actually I kind of fell off the wagon a little bit. I had, you know, a very strong STEM background. I got a doctorate in epidemiology and, you know, I went into writing. So I think in some ways my own trajectory kind of combines this strange wave two and wave three. You know, I think I didn't end up doing something that was necessarily the reputable path, or I wouldn't say easy path, but like a direct path that has certain kinds of payouts that are expected. So I felt like I'm sort of like in between. It's like 2.5 or something like that.
Well, did you feel like, you know, I don't know, did you feel worried that if you took the path of being a writer, ultimately that you would somehow disappoint your family?
I wasn't so worried about that. I think I was really worried that I would, first of all, disappoint myself. And second of all, putting a lot of my other skills on the back burner for a risk that didn't end up balancing out. Could I have done more for medicine or research or cancer epidemiology versus could I have done more for like literature or writing or short story or fiction? I have things that I can do and I know I can do well, but I only have a limited amount of time on this earth to sort of execute them.
It is such an interesting convergence of expertise that you have. You mentioned, you know, studying epidemiology. The book ends as the pandemic, the COVID-19 pandemic, is beginning. Did you always intend to make that a part of the story? Was that part of the plan?
No. I turned in a draft of this story without COVID February 2020. And then March happened, and I thought, well, let's just give it 2 weeks. Let's see what will happen. It probably will go away. So that didn't happen. And then, you know, me and my editor sat down and we had a very reasonable and very thorough discussion about what do we do? Because she is an Asian American ICU doctor. And by this point in, you know, May or April, everyone knew what was happening in the ICU. So it just made the most sense to incorporate that into the story. And then, you know, very easily, 22 drafts later, I figured out the right balance for the pandemic and for the family narrative, weaving it in so it wasn't just tagged on or kind of like something that I thought of later.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I was reading this book while actually sick with COVID, and it made me wonder two things. First of all, is it too soon to be writing fiction about COVID? And also wondering how novelists like you would incorporate this time into your work, as we're all sort of collectively trying to process what happened. Like, I wonder if it's affected your writing in any unexpected ways.
Right. So since it started, since the pandemic started, I feel like it has sort of weaved into a lot of my current stories. And I don't actually think I would be able to write a story unless I could say, oh, this was pre-pandemic or this was post-pandemic or whatnot, because it will become endemic in a certain way. And until, you know, it becomes a little bit more normally accepted, I do think it's sort of at the forefront of my mind, especially since most of my family is still in China. And I don't think China's going to open its borders anytime soon. So I don't know if I'm ever going to see them. And that stresses me out a little bit, too.
I imagine, yeah. And at the same time, you wrote this book in a moment when the pandemic made us, you know, a lot more aware of things like racism and violence against Asian Americans in the United States. So let's just end on that, if we could. What do you hope that people understand about that after reading the book?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. So being able to go to really great schools, right? I had a really good education from college onward. Sometimes the question was, oh, well, you know, you're so successful and mentally stable, et cetera. You know, have you experienced racism? Do Asians experience discrimination or racism or whatnot? Because it seems like you never talk about it, so you probably never experience it. I think that that's totally, you know, erroneous. But I do think it is because sometimes it doesn't feature so prominently in our fiction or whatnot. But when the pandemic first started happening, and I just, you know, they were calling it, you know, the horrendous name. And in some ways, I was glad that it sort of started to become part of the conversation that, you know, anti-Asian hate crimes do occur, and they occur a lot and with high frequency. Oftentimes, we just try to ignore it. And it gave me more encouragement to write about it in fiction and how that, you know, it's not really a surprise, to be honest, but maybe it is a surprise to a reader who thinks that Asians don't face any discrimination because we are quote unquote model minorities, you know, kind of clarifying that and sort of adding a little bit of texture and nuance to that.
Well, Weike Wang, it has been a pleasure to speak with you. The new book is called Joan is Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, Peter. Thanks for having me. Great questions.